What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the 452 podcast brought to you by Fountain Ford. I'm your host, Chris Jones, and today we have an excellent show. We have our recurring guest, Stephen Gergella, the CEO and founder of Fountain Ford. And then we also have with us a brand new guest, Chuck Hester. He is the new Director of Strategic Communications for Fountain Ford. And the topic today is going to be preparation and why a lot of people underestimate it, the power of preparation. So, Stephen, take it away.
Thanks, buddy. First of all, Chuck, introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about yourself.
Hey, I'm Chuck Hester, the new Director of Strategic Communications for Fountain Ford. Been a marketing PR guy for about 30 years. Branding and LinkedIn is one of my expertise areas, and I really look forward to taking a chance to work with everybody.
Cool. So we're going to take a not sexy subject, and we're gonna tell you why it should be sexy, and that's preparation. And I think it's something that immediately when Chuck and I started talking, I followed Chuck for a few years. Chuck and I started working on an individual project or a side project, and then Chuck basically out of the nowhere said, "Hey, we should team up." And as we continued to communicate, we started to realize, or I should say that Chuck kind of brought up the fact that, like, he agreed with the fact that a lot of the things that I was saying about whether it was mental health or it was on the business side or the strategy side or where I wanted to take the business. And over our first couple of days of working together, I think Chuck has already seen that, like, preparation is by far the most important thing to me personally, and that also struck a chord with Chuck. And we ended up sending out a post on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram today about preparation. And the overarching theme here is because it's so not sexy, meaning you just sit there and study and study and study, and the majority of the information doesn't get used, it actually ends up being overlooked. And Chuck, my question to you is, with the most experience of anybody in the room, talk to me about why preparation really, I mean, there's nothing else more important than being prepared.
Yeah, it really comes down to, you know, you've got to be that person that has the answers. You've got to be the person when you're in front of a client, whether you're a speaker. I know a lot of national speakers who will do the same presentation over and over and over again to make sure they nail it, because you never know what might happen. A mic might go out, the slides might not be available, client may ask a question totally out of the blue, off the agenda, that you've got to be prepared for. And if you are the person in the room that's supposed to be the expert, and supposed to be servicing an account, for instance, you really need to know what you're talking about.
Right, and I think an interesting thing with that is that does not mean you have to be the expert in everything. It does mean that you have to have thought about mm-hmm. where to get that answer from, or that they might ask that question, right? And so I find it interesting that when people think that, oh, that's not my area or this, that doesn't mean that you couldn't have put the time together to look at, okay, and Chuck, the number one thing that Chuck brought up when we were starting to negotiate finding a way for you to become a part of this business was expectations. Mm-hmm. You had talked about this sore spot and the expectations, and not necessarily the previous situation, but with multiple situations that you've been in your life, and mm-hmm. you're getting set up for failure if those expectations aren't clean and clear. And I think that comes back also, and it ties into the preparation side, because if you actually, and I can see it in your face right now, if for those that aren't in the room, you can see a big grin on Chuck's face. It all starts with the expectation phase, and I want to start say something. The number one reason why I wanted to team up with you was the fact that you were so about expectations when you set up some of the personal branding stuff with me. Mm-hmm. I said to myself, I said, this is where I suck. I'm really bad, because I get excited. I have set unrealistic expectations times a billion in my lifetime. And this whole preparation thing really starts with the expectations. Chuck, how do you make sure that you set those expectations up with, whether it's personal branding, client, whatever it is, how do you make sure you set those up clean first?
Well, and again, I go a lot back to speaker work. When you're a speaker, the first thing you do, one of the slides I have is, what are you going to hear today? And the number one rule for a speaker is, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. And that's got the bottom line. Same thing with managing expectations. You've got to talk to your client and say, okay, so we're going to work on these five areas, and this is what it looks like. At the end of that meeting, you've got to reiterate that and say, okay, we talked about X, Y, and Z. These are the action items that we're going to do. Follow it up with an email with the exact same information. So if a client comes back to you and says, well, I thought you were going to do this as well. I said, no, look back to that email. You'll see what the agenda was and where we're supposed to go with that.
Right. And that also comes back to even internal stuff. So today we were talking about internal communications. Mm-hmm. And one of the number one things was, is you wanted to make sure that you could hold somebody accountable if you had clearly communicated something to them and they had ignored it.
Right.
Right. And so another piece to this is, even if you set up, so I'm going to add an asterisk to this, even if you do set up communications correctly, across the board, expectations correctly, excuse me, across the board, you still can benefit from being extra, extra prepared. And I'm going to give you a specific example that you can digest. Okay. So we work with car dealers on a regular basis. Chuck, you know where I'm going to go with this. On a regular basis, we are, what our job is to gather attention from people and get them to convert into prospects. And then once they're a prospect, technically, according to what we do for a living, it is then their job to handle it. Well, at times, clients can come back and say that even though they got a specific amount of prospects, that the quality was not there. Well, if you're going to challenge the quality of our prospects that we're finding you, I have to be able to have something to back up that I know my prospects are quality, right? And so let's use the car dealers, for example. And this is let me see if I can use the word correctly, a ubiquitous problem across mm-hmm. automotive. Did I do okay there, Chuck?
You did good.
Chuck has a, what's the degree from USC? You have a?
Journalism.
Yeah. I don't. I don't have a journalism degree. I don't even think I've taken an English class. So this is a ubiquitous problem in the automotive industry. And I say problem, I mean a room for improvement, which is, you know, in the automotive industry, if you get to 15% closing ratio of all the leads that contact you, you're like a hero in the industry. And what industry is an 85% failure rate? Are you stoked about? Like that's what automotive is, right? Which I saw as something that was fascinating a long time ago. I think it's exciting because that means if I get you to 20%, we're in hero mode, right? 25%, 1 in 4, we're the best of the best, right? So what we had to start doing was I'm getting these prospects across all these different clients. I want to find out how much you're contacting the prospect. And we know in the automotive industry, the purchase comes between number 8 and number 12, right? And you talked about on the contact side for like the content side that it could be as high as 17.
Right.
Right. And so so what we started doing is we started building dashboards that showed which salesman contacted which leads, what medium they used to contact them, how often they did it, what time they did it, etc. And so we would walk into these meetings. This is probably about 3.5-4 years ago, the first time I ever did it. And they were like, we're not getting enough leads. We're not getting this. We're not getting this. We're not getting this. Well, little did they know that they know I have the log installed, their CRMs, their DMS, etc. But they didn't think that I was going to look into it deeper than they did. I did. I spent 12 hours on it. And I walked in and I showed them everything for the last 2 years. And their jaws dropped. And they just looked at me. And I said, so you're telling me, I believe the quote was, this is out in Sacramento. So you're telling me that I'm only contacting 60% of 60% of all prospects that try to do business with me? I go, yes, that's correct. And you ready for this stat? Only 8% of all your prospects are you getting past number 4. And he just looked at me. And I said, he goes, where did you find this information? I said, I found your information. I read your information from your CRM. And then the argument that came back was, well, that information might not be correct. And I go, so you're saying garbage in, garbage out? And he just looked at me and he knew I trapped him. I go, so you're telling me that the information that you want to hold accountable for me and your salespeople is bad information? I go, so who's the problem here? Is it my prospects? So you can guarantee that my prospects are bad, but you just admitted that your team is not doing their job. And that was the end of the conversation, right? That we have to have, like, this whole thing, like me being prepared for what he was thinking beforehand on how he was going to trap me. It wasn't technically in my job description, but if I thought that he was going to do that and the information's available, wouldn't it behoove me to make sure that I'm as prepared as possible, mm-hmm. right? So that's what I find interesting about this whole preparation thing. How bad do you want it? How bad do you really want to keep that client, right? And I get chills thinking about that. Like I just had I feel my hair stand up on end. Like, I really want to work hard for these prospects. Sometimes I have to hold them accountable even when they don't even see it themselves, right? And so I just find it interesting that this preparation thing is overlooked across the board. And I think it comes back to, I maybe throwing knives here in this room, laziness? Are people just lazy and they just, I mean, Chuck, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really does come down to the, you know, what we call the least friction as far as trying to prepare for something. So, okay, I'm going to get done what I need to get done to get to the point where the client said, okay, that's an okay job, and we'll be all right with that. But any other aspect of the preparation is you've got to think ahead as to what the client objections may be or what the client may bring up. And even if they don't bring it up, at least you have that in your arsenal to say, okay, you know, he brings up, oh, you've got bad leads. And when you are able to show, hey, no, it's the sales that you're not following through on and the prospects you're not following through on. So I do a lot of what ifs as far as questions that might come up. And Stephen, you brought up another thing. The one thing that I have a tendency to do is you really need to be able to look and say, okay, so the client says, do you have an answer for this? I never say no to that. I say either, yes, I do have an answer, here's the answer, or no, I don't have an answer right now, but I will find out for you and get back to you.
Right, or my team, you know, the choice of words there, my team does, I am right. Certain of it, right? And I think that was another thing that you and I talked about that was very important was our job. I mean, we're solution experts, mm-hmm. right? We're trying to find a way to figure out how to get the job done within the realm of expectations, right? And so, obviously, there are questions and things that they could ask us that it'd be impossible to know the answer.
Sure.
But if it can be done, I feel like it's kind of our responsibility to find a way to get it done, right? Mm-hmm. Within the realm of reasonable expectations,
right?
And so I want to, just to close this up here, I want to talk about one other thing that you brought up there, which was you said that you were, you know, you come in prepared, you're thinking about their questions that they might ask, or when you're building your own reports, and this is something you and I are going to debrief on after we're done with this podcast, is we're going to go through for one of our client meetings coming up, we're going to go through, you know, what their perception is going to be of our own data, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to be the main thing. I sat down with you a mere half hour ago and you looked at me and you said, Stephen, the data's good, et cetera. But the main thing we're going to do now is I'm going to talk to you, and I haven't even told you this specific part. I'm going to be the dealer, and I'm going to talk to you like a dealer, and I'm going to tell you what I don't believe about your data, what I do, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to learn from that, right? What I challenge the listeners out there to do is this. When you've done it 3 months in a row and they've started to get real comfortable with you, you're going to want to back off on your preparation, 110%. Don't get caught. Mm-hmm. Because when you get caught, here's the thing. They are going to come. There's blood in the water, and they are coming with fire. And I'm Chris Jones, I see you over here. See you nodding. I've told you that many times before. Oh, dude, they come guns blazing. It's a witch hunt, y'all. It's a straight-up witch hunt. Come ask me. Come talk to me about it. I've had a witch hunt recently, and there was no merit to it whatsoever. You want to know how I beat the witch hunt? Most prepared. That's it.
With data,
correct.
Absolutely.
And guys, this is not a subjective thing. This is not a sales podium here. This is you have to have as much objective data as possible, right? And don't forget, think about it. If there could be garbage in, garbage out, you should also announce that first, right? That's one of the things I do when I go into these meetings is go, just so you guys know, the data tells me this, this, and this. This is from one of my meetings reporting April reports in May. I talked about this. I went through 9 pages of data, but I started off with this. Hey guys, I'd like to preface with something. This data is all yours mixed with ours. And in the event that this, this, and this happened, this would all be null and void. And so we went through it all. And at the end of it, they all just kind of sat there quietly and they were like, we're pretty sure that this section and this section is garbage data. And I go, great, I understand, we should clean that up. But, and listen, if it happens to be 80% correct all the time or 70% or whatever, as long as it's consistently the same amount, it's fine, we can do something with it, mm-hmm. right? Yep. If Chuck is always 50% wrong, well, it's fine. I know that you're always 50% wrong and we're always the same. But if all of a sudden it's 90, then it's 10, then it's 4, then it's 60, well, then it's completely junk, right? And so that's what it comes back to is objective data. That's a great point. Yeah. And so you cannot get complacent. You need to continue to pitch back to the fact that, and be transparent with it. You need to be pitching the transparency of the data. You need to be walking in as prepared as possible to ensure that when they might bring something up, that you look as if you lived in this data for the last 30 days since you last talked to them, right? You literally slept on it. And that's all you do is think about that data. So any final bites there, Chuck, on that?
No, I think it's pretty straightforward. One of the reasons that I'm here is because you guys are a data-driven agency and you use that along with your creativity to provide solutions that a lot of folks don't know how to do.
Cool. Well, kind words from you, Chuck, there. So we'll have Chuck on a regular basis, guys. If you don't follow Chuck, Chuck Hester, you can find him on LinkedIn, chuckhester.com as well. Chuck and I are going to be doing some speaking together in the future. We'll be doing some podcasts together, some videos together. And obviously, he's now a new member of the Fountain Forward team. And so just hit him up with a follow. If you have any questions specifically on LinkedIn, Chuck is the expert on that. So thank you again, Chuck, for being here.
Absolutely.
I'll let C. Jones sign us out.
Thanks a lot, Stephen. Well, I think that definitely was some serious knowledge this week, always dropping these knowledge bombs. That's why we love to have Stephen on, and now love to have Chuck on, and we can't wait to have him on again. And I want to encourage everybody to like and subscribe and download to the podcast. We're on all the major channels, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. If you have a favorite platform, we're on there.
Podcast.
Yeah, so.
Everywhere.
Holler at us. Cool. All right, and tune in next week to the Forward 52 podcast, brought to you by Fountain Ford.